This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Jake Lancaster, Chief Medical Information Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Lancaster, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Well, thank you, Laura. Glad to be with you.
Before we jump into the questions, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So my name is Jake Lancaster. I'm an internal medicine physician, and I am the Chief Medical Information Officer for Baptist Memorial Healthcare. I got my start by, I did medical school at University of Mississippi. Then I went on to do residency in internal medicine at UAB, where I also did a master's in health administration. I then left to do a fellowship in clinical informatics at Vanderbilt and did their master's in applied clinical informatics program before jumping into operations and moving first to a hospital system in West Tennessee and then moving to Memphis. And in Memphis, Baptist Memorial Healthcare has 22 hospital systems across three states, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, as well as a couple hundred clinics.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm really excited for our conversation today. My first question is, how has COVID-19 changed your strategy and view around virtual care technology?
Yeah, so it has really evolved a lot since last March. So in the beginning, like most every other healthcare system in the country, we were very busy standing up telemedicine solutions. We saw a very large spike in both inpatient and outpatient uses of telemedicine within that first couple of months. And then it died down a little bit and plateaued, but we did have a little bit of an increase back in December with the peak of our second wave. More recently, we have been embarking on the hospital at home route and really have been working to try to incorporate that remote patient monitoring to better enable our healthcare system to deliver that care that is going to be, it's going to be really needed, especially going forward. I know a lot of hospitals are moving into that space, and a lot have been doing it for years, but this is certainly is a new program for us. And I'm excited to see that continue to evolve and see how that technology can augment the experience for the physician and patient.
That's fantastic. It's great to think about how the pandemic, as bad as it was, gave us the opportunity to embark on more of these technology initiatives that can really benefit the patients greatly, especially those that are needing that kind of care from home.
Yeah, definitely. CMS's rules for hospital at home are a little interesting because that patient has to look exactly like they do on the inpatient side. So it does, the demographic for the patient that's being admitted to the hospital at home program does kind of limit some of that, I think, the utility of that remote patient monitoring, because it really does have to be a very specific patient that would meet those criteria. But I think that will continue to evolve in the future. And then as we get more comfortable with dealing with that, I can see remote patient monitoring being tied into many of our other outpatient departments that just are following their own panel of regular clinic patients. So I think as we gain more experience with it, it'll just continue to grow.
Got it. And now I wanted to ask you about enterprise imaging as well. How do you see enterprise imaging and radiology evolving in the future?
Well, we have a couple of things that are going on. Our EMR system, Epic, just recently we took an upgrade, which is allowing us to receive clinical quality images from other systems transported in real time. So at the very least, we're finally maybe getting rid of those CD-ROMs that the patient has to drive back and forth, or we have to carry or fax from hospital system to hospital systems. I know, many occasions during residency and other times where we literally had to get somebody to go pick up the disc from another hospital and bring it over. So I'm excited about that. It's been a long time coming. One of the other things that I'm excited about is really just incorporating more AI technology into our radiology system. We have a couple of different initiatives for very specific pieces of radiology, like lung nodule imaging and follow-up that AI is really helping us with. And I can see that in the future, it's just going to keep growing in that direction, where AI will take on these niche use cases that really don't need necessarily the full weight of the radiologist expertise to evaluate. and really take a lot off their plate so they can do the things that they really need to be focused on. I can see that continue to evolve.
Got it. Thank you so much for going through that with us. Now, what are you most excited about right now, and what makes you nervous?
Well, a couple of things. One is the snow on the ground is making me very excited, being in Memphis, Tennessee, but also very nervous about driving. You probably don't have that problem in Chicago. But really, all joking aside, COVID-19 is still in the forefront of my mind and the majority of the leaders in our system. I'm excited about the vaccinations. We have had some good success, and I spent a lot of time looking at our data and sharing it with our executive team. And we have started to notice a decline in hospitalizations in the 70 plus age group. All age groups have declined since our vaccination program has started, really, and since that second peak. But the decline has been faster in that age group, which in our state, at least our three-state area, are really the only outpatients that are eligible for this are those that are 70 and above. So I'm a little hopeful that that is a signal that the vaccination program is working for us. And so we'd like to continue to see that go forward with, obviously as we progress to the next phases. What am I nervous about? Really nervous about the variants that are emerging around the country, as many are. We're watching those closely and carefully and deciding if anything in our clinical practice needs to be changing. I'm really hoping that our vaccination program just continues to amp up so that we can outrace those variants.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's, ideally the situation. I know a lot of the leaders across the healthcare system are really kind of keeping an eye on both things in terms of vaccinations and the variants and really how everything will play out over the next few months. Now, I wanted to ask you about leadership before we end our conversation here. What are your top three pieces of advice for aspiring clinical leaders today?
What are my top three pieces of advice? So I would say number one, for those that are aspiring into a leadership role, is to just continue to broaden your horizons and expand your skill set. Early on in my career, when I was in residency, I actually decided to get that master's in health administration. And that really has shaped the rest of my career. It took me in different directions, led me to do this fellowship that I was never really expecting to do. It wasn't even on my radar screen. Along those same lines, even after doing this fellowship in informatics, I picked up new skills. And that would be the second thing, is continue to expand your skill set. I learned how to code, even though I had no prior background of that. I actually learned how to do podcasting as well. We had two podcasts that I started since the pandemic started, which I learned during fellowship. The Right Carrot Baptist podcast and the Connecting the Dots podcast that focuses on continuous improvement were both skills that I picked up late in my career. And I think as an aspiring clinical leader, you're going to need to have new skills to be able to bring to the table and not be afraid to learn something new. Many people may think these things are intimidating, but really, if you've been through medical school, you've been through any sort of training, you've trained harder and learned more than anybody else in the world, in my opinion, and you can really master anything that you take the time to look into. So that would be, those are kind of two pieces, is to continue to broaden your horizons and not be afraid to take on and learn new skills. The third thing I would say is to really familiarize yourself with data and data analysis and be able to bring that to the table. I've found since I've started in administration just that there really is a desperate need for people that both know the clinical workflow as well as know how to analyze data and make sense of the data in real time. And I've been doing that for our organization since I got here, and I think it's made a pretty big impact, and I would like to see more leaders emerge with that skill set.
Got it. Dr. Lancaster, thank you so much for going through those three pieces of advice for us. I think to summarize, number one is just continue to broaden your horizons and expanding your skill set. I love the example that you gave on how you earned your master's in health administration and then, you know, going into the informatics fellowship and just really learning a lot of new things. And tied to that, expanding your skill set in for you, it sounds like it was coding and then podcasting even in the recent months. So that's always exciting to hear. And then finally, familiarizing yourself with data and data analysis. Thank you so much for joining the podcast today, Dr. Lancaster. This has been a fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Laura. I really enjoyed it.